Limits. Let's go out to our friend and yours, Sean Gentile, who's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sean writes for The Athletic, has written for many different publications, including the Post-Gazette. Sean, wonderful to have you. I hope you're doing well. How big a deal was the U.S. winning that world? Let me phrase it differently. The U.S. won the world championships the other day, which normally nobody really pays attention to. For the first time since like 1933, I think. What's the bigger deal, them winning it or Canada and Kyle Dubas losing to Denmark, whose best player was Hans Christian Andersen?
10,000% it was Canada losing. I don't even, like, where do you watch the World Championships? I think it's on NHL Network, which nobody gets anymore. Like, where are we supposed to even, or who do they beat? I'm a professional hockey, are they Switzerland or something?
I don't know.
Tage Thompson scored the golden goal. I saw that. Go Sabres.
Yeah, I did see that. And it was a big deal for them. But man, I spoke to a couple people that I used to cover hockey with in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a pretty big deal. It felt like Denmark's miracle on ice. And Kyle Dubas, this was not a good night for him to lose to Denmark, was it?
I think there's a wide range of outcomes that can take place when you rely on Jordan Binnington as your goaltender. And Kyle got a firsthand taste of that. Binnington's either real good or real bad. And, you know, the result didn't work out for Dubas.
Man, I'll say. Meanwhile, he needs to hire a coach. What do you make of the search so far? What are some names that come to mind? I see people talking about Todd Nelson, who has worked in Edmonton, Dallas, other places as a popular candidate. What's going on here, and when is it going to happen, and who do you think it'll be?
I know Kyle was doing interviews like in Denmark and wherever they were, Sweden, Budapest. I don't know if they were bouncing around or what, to show you how much attention I paid to the World Championships. But I do know he was doing interviews there, at least doing some amount of recon. But yeah, I think to some degree the whole situation was on hold until I got back from that. So I'm sure it's ratcheted up to another level in the last, you know, couple of days, I suppose. Mitch Love is a name that really intrigues me. He's an assistant for the Capitals. So he comes from, I've heard you gas up Spencer Carberry at points over the last couple months, deservedly so. That dude is a great coach. I was on the Caps for the first two rounds of the playoffs, and he's a really impressive guy. I think Love, you know, gets a little extra shine because he's coming off staff for Carberry, but he was only there for a year. Mitch Love was a really, really good AHL coach for Calgary. He developed players. He, you know, he's a personable guy. He's got a track record of taking young players and making them better. And he's a pretty hot name, and he hasn't taken a job yet. So I know people are talking about Todd Nelson. There's other names that are kind of searching, you know, surfacing. But man, if I'm Dubas, or if I'm really anybody who's trying to get a coach that's development focused and has success, you know, as a head coach professionally, man, Mitch Love would be my first call right now, I think.
Do you think Mike Sullivan is going to have immediate success and big success with the Rangers? Because I don't, Sean.
Look, a lot of money, a lot of years. It's all guaranteed. It's 5 years guaranteed, whatever the salary was. So it's all going to work out for Sullivan. But I'm not sure I would walk into a situation where my direct two superiors are Chris Drury and James Dolan.
Bingo.
So I would, like, we can't do much. Like, we're workers, man. You can't do much other than try to choose your bosses. And I'm not sure, like, whatever. Money's money. I think Sullivan likes the idea of coaching the Rangers for sure. He's going to have a long leash, and there's a lot of good pieces there. But I don't know, man. I think taking a job under James Dolan is borderline disqualifying. Like, I don't think I have any interest in working for that guy, period. And Chris Drury, frankly, with the way he's handled plenty of stuff over the last couple of years, isn't far behind. So, yeah, he's got a goaltender. He's got some good pieces. He's got Adam Fox and, you know, whatever else. But that locker room was an ugly place last year. So he's got to dig through that. And he's also got to deal with meddling from above, whether it's from the owner or from the GM.
Yeah, man, I'm on board with everything you just said. Limits, I wouldn't even dream of leaving you out of this conversation. Do you even know Sean? You didn't have his number earlier.
No, we've had a couple of conversations with him before.
What do you think of him so far?
He's a wonderful man. Yeah. He likes to call me Limits every time, so I know he's a frequent listener of the show.
Sean, any opinion on Limits so far in your brief and only phone-related relationship? That didn't sound right.
Fellas, like, this is not a joke. I've slept 4 days in my own bed since Easter because of the playoffs. I've been listening to your show even more frequently than I do when I'm at home, thanks to the wonderful Odyssey app. I am a fan. I am a supporter. I am slightly devastated, but not surprised that part-time pomp is not present today.
Did you hear about intern Dom calling Pomp a moron?
Are you serious?
Limits, should we treat Sean to the audio of this?
I think we have to.
Hold on a second. So first we have Limits with the blatant disrespect of Bob's Will Howard opinion a couple of weeks ago.
At least
Limits is cashing checks. He's a real employee of the station. You got intern Dom losing it now?
Yeah. The topic was greatest athletes of all time, and I said, is Shohei Ohtani, if this guy comes back and pitches, what are we going to do with that? And intern Dom brought up Tiger Woods, and then all hell broke loose, and this will finish with Bob storming into the studio. Here you go, Sean.
What about Tiger Woods?
That's a good one. Jack Nicklaus, some would say, is better than Tiger Woods.
Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Oh, my God. You just did what Limits did. You've insulted Bob.
I didn't insult Bob.
Yes, you did. He says Jack Nicklaus is better than Tiger Woods, and you just called him a moron.
Oh, then I guess Bob doesn't know what he's talking about, then, if that's what he's saying.
Oh, my God. Limits said that Bob's opinion last week was ridiculous, and it became an international story.
That did get a
you
lot of...
You just called Bob a moron.
No, I said that opinion is moronic.
Oh, no, you didn't. You said anyone who says that is a moron, Browser. The idea of college is to get a job. You have one. Don't go back to college. Bob, Dom just called you a moron.
No, don't. Joe, you're not starting something. Not a Memorial Day.
He heard.
Go ahead.
I had high hopes for him.
Did you hear that, Bob?
What is moronic about that take?
Because Tiger Woods, and now listen, I will admit that I defer to you both on this, but I'm just telling you from my perspective, nobody dominated their sport the way Tiger dominated golf.
You are so young, Dom.
So young,
Bob. And just because you saw what you saw doesn't mean what happened before you saw anything existed. It did exist.
Right.
He dominated.
The way Tiger dominated?
Better, more.
Better and more. Sean, your take on all that?
Does Dom still work there? Like, did you guys pack up his desk after? That bothered me. Like, that bothered me to hear.
Wow.
Oh, that didn't this just is... one up at Sean. That, like, four ups yeah. what I said.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
I'm not kidding. I was listening live on my way back from Caps practice on the app when Limits and Bob had their little disagreement. That's something you come about organically. It was understandable, I think. Austin, like, you backtracked appropriately and showed the right amount of, you know, deference, like, in the end. That is wild stuff. That's wild stuff. I'm not kidding. I did not like listening to that.
You're making me uncomfortable listening to that.
I will, if we extend it, and I have to say on intern Dom's behalf that it ended nicely with Bob forgiving intern Dom. But I'll tell you, intern Dom did not back off. As
not
you
at
heard,
all.
He doubled down on that. So
where did he go to school?
He still goes to Syracuse. He's on the Carl Krauser plan. He's going back for year 8.
It's the Syracuse guys. They're egomaniacs. that school churns out take freakazoids who are never wrong in their own minds. We know this. You employ a couple of them.
Oh, freakazoids.
Wow. What do you make of this development, Limits? He just insulted Pony, Tim Benz.
I think Pony was definitely in there taking a subtle shot.
Intern Dom, without a doubt. Who else is from Syracuse around here?
That's a good question.
Bob,
I know there's a couple of more.
Bob came from Point Park. You came from Waynesburg, as did Donnie.
As did Jack Hillgrove. As did Callis.
They're very confident in themselves, Sean. I do agree there. Very confident. Sometimes overconfident.
Here's what I'll say. They're not measured, reasonable, thoughtful journalists like are produced at the University of Maryland, obviously. There's a big difference there.
That's because they're all graduates of the David Morehouse School of Journalism there at Syracuse. Right?
Pass. I'm passing on that one.
All right. So your first move in the offseason, other than hiring a coach, which seems fairly important, if you're Kyle Dubas, what are you doing here?
Where do you start?
Eric Carlson, you could start there.
I guess
what we're starting with, Sean, is are you trying to win still or are you rebuilding?
No.
That's where I would start. And then your moves, you move accordingly.
That decision has been made. They are not trying to win. Now the question is, what are the first set of steps? The next set of steps you take towards, putting that quasi plan into action. Like the Carlson stuff's interesting because there was a lot of buzz around him coming out of the Four Nations tournament because he played well. He looked like the good version of Eric Carlson. So people are like, there's only a couple years left on this deal. It looks like he's still got some juice. Maybe they retain some salary. Like, we'll see what happens. And I'm wondering how much that's going to carry over into the offseason. The good thing for the Penguins, instead, this shouldn't matter for them in terms of adding to their roster, but it's good that it's happening on a macro scale, is that the salary cap is jumping up pretty significantly. It's going to keep jumping up. And players like Eric Carlson, who are overpaid at the moment, are not going to be in a year or two. Like, we're all going to have to recalibrate the valuations that we put on hockey players. Like, an $8 million defenseman or an $11 million defenseman today are not going to be $8 million or $11 million defensemen in a year or two. And I think that's going to help them in some regards, whether it's with Carlson or, knock-knock Ryan Graves. Like, I think the salary cap going up is going to help them, and I'm interested in seeing how they, weaponize that for themselves over the next month or so.
Limits, did you ever get a question in?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sean, how much input, and I know Sidney Crosby says that, he doesn't want any input in the coaching search. Do you think he should? Like, how much of a say should Crosby have in what goes on with the organization moving forward? And do you think when the time comes that he does retire, that he will stay with the organization in some capacity?
Oh, man. I don't think, Sid's never going to seek out that level of input as a player. Like, I take him at his word on that. Like, I know he said that to Yoey in Stockholm or wherever they were last week, where it was like, nope, not interested in it. And it seemed like he was maybe not thrilled with the implication. But if I'm Dubas or anybody making decisions, big decisions about this franchise, I'm going directly to Crosby and asking him for his input. I'm not waiting for him to ask. I'm not putting that on his plate. Like, I don't think that's a fair position to put Sidney Crosby in. Like, he's saying basically, if you want input, like, hey, we're open, give it to us. No, like, ask him pointed questions, see what his thoughts are. Maybe don't base all your decisions on that, but I think it's important that they do things with him on board and that they make decisions with, his next couple years and his legacy with the franchise in mind, because this team's not going to be good. And I think things have changed over the last year, and I think there's potential for it to change even more over the next couple. So, yeah, ask him the question, get his input, don't be unfair to him. Don't put too much on his plate. Don't make it his decision, but, you know, recognize the fact that he knows what he's talking about, A, and that B, his happiness and his future and whatever comes next for him in this franchise is as important as anything right now.
Do you think if he gets the idea that they really aren't trying to win for a year or two still, that he would ever want out? Or is he determined to be a one jersey guy and have that be part of his legacy? Is that's important?
I still, like, even with how much of a mess things have become over there, like, I still find it really, really hard to believe that he would ever ask out. And it's an annoying thing to see, frankly, because, you know, whether it's Canadian media trying to wish cast him over to Montreal or Colorado or whatever, like whatever fantasy GM stuff, you know, they play, particularly in Canada. Like, we're not there, but I think we're getting closer. Like a year ago or 6 months ago or whatever, I would have said, no way, absolutely not. One team guy idolized Yzerman, came up under Mario. You know, that's what his priority is. And also he's like a total creature of routine. Like if there's anybody on earth who would not adjust well to a move or just an organization where they do even superficial stuff differently, it's him. A year ago I said, no way. But I think now, especially if we're looking at another, you know, season where they're the sixth, seventh, eighth worst team in the league, I'm interested to see how he reacts to that.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic, couple more questions. So with Kyle Dubas, there's a wide range of opinions from people, media people in our town, basically worshiping this guy, calling him the future hero of the franchise.
Can I ask a question about this? Because I've heard you do this say that about Dubas. Like, how many people are we talking here? Like where are these people that are like these Pittsburgh people who are like worshiping the ground that he walked?
Well, at least a few and prominent ones, but the opinions range from that all the way down to somebody like PK Subban basically calling him a spectacle wearing fraud. Where are you on the spectrum of Kyle Dubas?
Oh, this is a boring answer. I'm in the middle. I don't think he's. I don't think he's the savior.
Okay.
But I also don't think he's. I don't think he's a fraud. I think his track record with the Maple Leafs kind of attests to that. Made some good decisions. Made some bad decisions. I think to some extent he's learned from them. Like he's talked about that in various points. Like he's learned from the mistakes he made with Toronto, specifically like some contract negotiations with some of their younger stars like Mitch Marner that didn't go the way that he wanted them to. So I think he's a better GM now than he was 5 years ago. But man, like the track record is what it is. Like he came in, he tried to win. He loaded up in his first month on the job where he trades for Carlson and he signs all these older guys. And, you know, it was clearly a case of him thinking they had one more run left in the tank and none of the moves he made to, you know, even if whether you believe they were legit or not, none of those moves he made to turn them into a contender again paid off. None of them. So I think he has to wear that. I think there's stuff that happened, particularly in his first off season that has just completely backfired. But I also think he's done a pretty good job of digging out of his own hole over the last 6 months or so. It's a boring answer. Like he's not the best GM in the league and he's not a fraud.
So if I ask you a yes or no question, do you trust that he's the guy to bring the Penguins back to prominence? What would you say?
I do, but I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as maybe he'd like some of us to believe. I think this is a rebuild that's going to take, you know, unless they hit big and get lucky, maybe with a free agent or some kind of Rutger McGroarty style trade that, you know, blows up for them in a positive way. I think this is a 3 or 4 year job. And, you know, if you believe that's the case, then the Crosby timeline gets pretty fuzzy in a hurry. So, yeah.
I was just going to ask you another question, but Limits has piped in. I was going to get to the draft clock and whether that's become a place where people should be, you know, taking prom photos and graduation photos.
Where did that? Is that on the North Shore? Is that like down by, is that down by the bars?
Yeah, it's an official countdown clock. Where exactly is
I
it
I went
limits?
To see it.
Is this what you were going to ask?
No.
Is it on the lawn?
No.
Is it by where the Bettis Steakhouse used to be?
Yes. Yeah, so it's in that area. It is right across from Akershire, right by Stage AE. You legitimately can't miss it. It's like 18 feet high, and it is so bright.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I went and checked out the draft clock.
I don't think I've been home since they put it up. So I know where I'm going as soon as this round's over.
Would you object to the idea of this turning into a landmark to the point where, like Mount Washington, or I don't know, the Cathedral of Learning, things like that, Point State Park, people want to take photos there? I believe Donnie and his fiancee Sarah are going to take some photos at the draft clock.
Can we get like some kind of really, once the draft comes and goes, can we sell like ad space on it for some like ambulance chaser attorney firm? Like,
sure.
Can we get something really embarrassing on there? Because that seems like the Mount Washington route.
I wouldn't think of not doing that. And the Post-Gazette story on the draft clock from a month ago quoted Duquesne University sports marketing professor Ronald Dick, Dr. Dick is quoted here saying that people from Boston, New York, Philly, D.C., very well positioned, according to Dr. Dick. So he thinks it's going to be a gigantic outpouring of road fans. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a fact. You look at what went on in yeah, Detroit in particular, a couple years ago. It's an event for out of towners more than the locals. Pittsburgh is it's centrally located to so many other NFL fan bases, right? You're gonna have people from Cleveland and Detroit and Baltimore and DC and Philly and all those spots like within a really easy drive if they want to. So yeah, we're gonna see a lot of. I guess we need to prepare to see a lot of Instagram posts of an 18-foot yellow clock by, you know, whatever replaced that is. The limits. What's over there now? It's like a Kenny Chesney.
It's Jason Aldean's. Yeah,
yeah. Great. It is.
Great. Yeah, Jason Aldean's place is there. The only Jason Aldean's places I think are Nashville and Pittsburgh, and I think they're putting a third one somewhere else.
So, do you have you want to round this out? Do you have a Dr. Dick based question for him or something different?
Well, I had a draft based question actually. I'm curious your thoughts, Sean, on if the Penguins ultimately land the golden ticket with McKenna next year, how quickly that timetable to contend could move up.
And what if they accidentally drafted Steve McKenna? Wouldn't that be horrible?
their average height would skyrocket.
He was a legend. Anyway, go ahead. Do you know he skated once on a line with Mario and Kovalev?
Yes. That's one of the... In the last possible moment, he could have, too.
Yes.
Like, after that moment, guys like him were incapable of playing in the NHL. So, yeah, it was a shooting star. We're lucky to have witnessed it.
All right. What did you ask him, Limits?
Yeah. I asked about Gavin McKenna. Yeah, how could the timetable be accelerated if they were able to land the golden ticket in next year's draft?
I don't know much about, like, prospects is one of the elements of my job that I just farm out to other people. I work with Corey Prom and Scott Wheeler, who are, you know, the primary experts in that space, I would say. But man, McKenna is good enough for me to pay attention to him. Like he seems like he's the real deal. So yeah, if they they finish with a fifth worst record in the league and fall backwards into a bed of roses like that organization tends to and end up with this guy. A, people are going to be furious, which is great. And B, I think, I think the timeline would accelerate. But barring something like that, where you get a legit, you know, Macklin Celebrini type prospect to come in and just change the overall outlook of it, man, I think it's going to be a long few years.
And if you're writing anything draft clock related, I know, Limits, do you have a number for Sean, Dr. Dick's number?
I might actually have Dr. Dick's number. I have to check.
I think I might. I'm 90% sure I talked to him for a couple things.
Thank you, Sean.
I do have his number, yeah. If not, I'll share it.
Yo, you know this. Like, he's a dial-in expert. You love having people like that available where you're just like, hey, I need a quote about some sports.
He's great.
Thing. Like, let's go to someone on my phone.
Joe, how about this? I just looked at the contact page I have for Dr. Dick that somebody shared with me, I think, a year ago. I have a cell phone number for Dr. Dick, a work fax number for Dr. Dick, and a work number.
Three different numbers. Sean, Dr. Dick uses a fax? Who uses a fax?
Apparently, Dr. Dick does.
What do you make of this?
Limits, do you have like an email for Dr. Dick that would be blocked by your work spam settings if you try to email it? Like,
not in my contacts page, no.
Do we have a Telegram number? We have any number of ways to contact Dr. Dick.
Do we have a carrier pigeon that can send him a message?
We're absolutely faxing Dr. Dick before the end of the show today.
Can we?
Do we have a fax machine capable thing here?
I've never sent a fax before.
When's the last time you sent a fax, Sean, or received one?
I sent a fax. I think I sent a fax when I put together a page of receipts for my expense reports to send to the great Linda Parker at the Post Gazette, who is in charge of all that stuff, and without whom, you know, the building would completely fall down. I think I stapled a bunch of receipts to a piece of paper and faxed it at some point.
All right. Well, if we fax, we'll be sure to CC you on any faxes to Dr. Dick.
Please do.
All right.
Please do. I'm gonna go hit up a FedEx Kinko's in Raleigh when my flight lands there in a few hours and make it happen.
Enjoy Raleigh. What a place that is. I love that city. I do.
It's okay.
I really do. Great dinner spots, campuses all over the place. Wilmington's 2 hours away, a golf course right on Duke's campus. I love it there.
He was just hanging out in Fort Lauderdale where I was for the Orange Bowl earlier this year. Mm. Pretty fun there.
There's no off days in this series. It's game off. There's no 2 day breaks. It's game off day, game off day, game off day. So I haven't been able to do anything fun at all. I am staying at an airport hotel in Raleigh, Durham. I would like to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible because people at home, one in particular, is starting to get frustrated with me being on the road this much.
Yeah, that hurts. Well, good luck.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks,
Bye, Sean.
Sean.
Nice man, isn't he, Limits? I hope you two have a long and productive friendship together.
Me too.
Hold on a second here, Limits. First of all, Sean Gentile, a big fan of the show, listens to us even when he's on the road. That was heartwarming, was it not?
Yeah, that's great. Big fans of us.
Very honored by that. Second of all, DK Metcalf isn't over at the opening of OTAs. No TJ Watt and no Aaron Rodgers. And maybe best of all, or most noteworthy of all, Mason Rudolph has one hell of a mustache. Have you seen the photos?
If you think the Paul Skeens mustache is good, Mason Rudolph is coming for him.
I'm starting to side with Pony, and this is all based on the mustache, that he could be Geno Smith for them. Maybe he'll be good. He's shown up with a swagger. The mustache makes a difference. Do you agree?
Wow, I'm looking at this picture right now that Bacco put out
there.
And he does look like a different man with that mustache. A man in his mustache, Joe. Man in his mustache.
I'm telling you, that thing is incredible. Meanwhile, DK Metcalf, is that a big deal that he's not over there? I don't think so. Do you? Although I would prefer everybody be over there, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's a work gathering where there's precious reps to be had. But the major guy missing is the team leader or alleged team leader, if he ever gets here, is Aaron Rodgers. But Metcalf, what do you think of that?
I think it's just kind of a footnote to mention. I'm not going to make a big deal of it, especially after what Doran said about, look, a lot of players show up to OTAs, but it's mandatory minicamp that's really that fine line of
but wait a
you have
second.
To be here.
You asked Doran about Rodgers, and Doran essentially said it's not that big a deal. I still think it is, as much as I respect Doran's opinion. Did he ever answer you when you said, did Brady show up?
Yes, he said that, let me make sure I get this right, just to make sure I credit Doran properly, that he wasn't there during OTAs. The only player that he played with that missed all of OTAs was Kyle Williams with the Bills.
So Brady was there.
Yeah. Brady was there.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about me is, my take on this is, Aaron Rodgers, as somebody who is A, learning needs to learn a new system, B, is the quarterback, and thus is the leader on the team in many regards. DK Metcalf has been a part of the Steelers organization for how long? He's been in the facility, like Freiermuth said. He has the playbook. It's not nearly as big of a deal for me as Aaron Rodgers not being there.
Yeah,
signed.
this is Aaron Rodgers' chance, or was a chance, to sort of, you know, come in here and say, this is my team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about this. I'm going to be your leader. Let's get to work, you know, instead. And it's not the biggest thing in the world. I don't think that. But what it is more fodder that goes, you know, into the bin of, does this guy really want to be here? Does he? Because nothing he said on, was it McAfee? Yes, getting my McAfees and my Rogans confused. On McAfee, when he first spoke about everything, I don't know, about a month ago, whatever it was.
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan.
Exactly. He just didn't sound like a guy who's particularly interested in playing football. He sounded like a guy that has a lot going on in his life, maybe some of it very serious, but yet he's found time to travel to things like the Joe Rogan show and concerts and such. He can't make it here for a couple days. I even think him showing up for 2 days would be huge. You know what I mean? Like, Aaron Rodgers is here. I even think him coming out and saying, like, over the weekend or last week, I'm absolutely, you know, I'm in, I'm signed. Here we go. Let's go. My first day will be mini camp in mid-June. Okay, at least we know you're in.
What's your start date in your new job, Aaron? Do you have an announced day?
We don't know. And this is just more of, does he really want to play? Does he want to play football? And if things were to be rough early, like adversity early, is this dude going to hang in there? Like, is he in it, or is he just a 1 year or maybe less than 1 year mercenary coming in? Like, why are they doing this?
Like, how much motivation is still there for Aaron to try and be great?
Yes.
Which I wonder. I mean,
or to play football at all.
Do you think that Aaron, just being the absolute star that he was for the entirety of his career and a four-time MVP, can think, well, you know, it's fine, I'll just show up and I'll be Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think that's what he is thinking. Yeah. And I still do believe he's going to be here, but just every sign, everything that he has said, or most of the things he said, it's like this silly game. Like, the kid asked him the other day, oh, are you going to, you know, sign with the Bears or whatever? Or who would he say?
He was asked, will Aaron Rodgers ever sign with the Bears? Will he ever join the Bears? But no, he will play in Chicago, apparently.
Will Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
Let's go!
On a road trip. I don't know.
Like a game. You know what I mean? Like, what is keeping him from just signing?
Can we
get that part over with?
The Vikings play in Chicago this year. Is he really holding out hope that the Vikings are going to sign him, even though they have McCarthy?
No, I honestly believe that it's a deal behind the scenes with him and Tomlin and Art. You know, yeah, I'll be there. But they haven't made it official.
Yeah.
Obviously. And he's not here for OTAs. And I think there's valuable things to be gained from that in terms of timing, in terms of personnel, in terms of terminology, all of that. I mean, that just seems obvious to me. There's a reason that Brady showed up every year, even after winning Super Bowls. It's a statement. This is my team. Let's get a start. It can't be that hard. It's 6 days.
Because the other thing about this too, Joe,
show
is
up
like,
for three of them.
If the Steelers weren't to announce this, like, what do the Steelers get out of this entire thing from, you know, handshake agreement with Aaron and not announcing it? That's why it's all Rodgers driven. Like, he's the one that's driving this bus. The Steelers get no benefit from announcing this thing on, like, June 10th compared to May 5th or whatever. You know? And this is all dictated by Aaron Rodgers, not the Steelers. Rodgers is the one that's driving this entire thing.
2025 Fan 5-Alarm T-shirts available online. Go to KeystoneCustomApparel.com to get your commemorative shirt. A portion of the proceeds benefits local volunteer fire departments. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, and the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. TJ Watt, not there. I'm not surprised even a tiny bit by that. I fully expected him not to be there. I don't think he's going to be at OTAs or if he is, it'll be just, you know, hanging around with the beginnings of a Holden, which don't you feel like that's the direction we're headed here?
No doubt. It'll be a Holden. He'll be there, but he won't be taking part in any activities to potentially get hurt. So as long as he's still there and going through the process, I don't have much of a problem with it because that's what he did the last time, and it didn't create that big of an uproar.
I'm curious to hear what Mason said today. I don't know if we can turn around any of that sound in the final hour here because it looked like he had a scrum around him. So some intrigue anyway at Steeler OTAs. And then I wanted to get real quick now to the Pirates lineup. And it did look yesterday like it was one of the few days, if not the only day, that they're starting nine. Their batting order had nobody under a 200 average. But by the end of the game, it was again, Brian Reynolds came up in a big situation and struck out. And Key Brian Hayes is just awful. I mean, that situation has just devolved, and he's said to be healthy, yes?
Yeah, he's healthy. He's changed up his swing this year, but it doesn't seem like it's mattered. Like, he's had a couple of decent games where he hasn't hit the ball far, but he gets a couple hits. That's it. This is just what Key Brian Hayes is.
Really?
He's not somebody that's going to drive the ball.
No, it certainly appears that way. And when you put $170 million into two guys and you're the Pirates, those guys need to produce. And it doesn't need to be, you know, he doesn't have to be A-Rod, but he has to be someone who can hit 260 and drive in some runs for you and hit a homer every once in a while and show some power. And as I've said many times, I have never in my life of watching baseball seen somebody top the ball more than him. Have you?
No, only a top that's spinning like a dreidel.
I mean, it's infuriating to watch, really. And then Reynolds has just been, he's a guy that you're paying a lot of money to at times carry the team. And instead, quite frankly, he's helped to bury them and ruin their season. And the season is already ruined. Unless they have some sort of miracle comeback. Maybe part of it is due to injury. I don't know. But it's not the first time he's gotten off to a rotten start. And he has just killed them, Limits, Reynolds.
Well, he has. I mean, there have been a lot of times where he's been able to just be their main catalyst in a lineup that has had nothing in it. This year, I don't know if he's just putting too much pressure on himself. What difference would this year make than the previous couple where he's had no help in the lineup? I think he's probably still injured with something, whether it's the whatever's going on in his trunk.
I don't know. If I'm not giving Hayes that excuse, I ain't giving Reynolds that excuse. They've both been awful, and they're both heavily, heavily depended on as two guys that the Pirates actually paid. They don't pay anybody. They paid these two guys. And Reynolds is sitting here with 13 extra base hits and 207 at-bats. My God, his slugging is .329. That's like Aliko Williams territory. What was his slugging percentage last year?
That definitely was not that high.
Wasn't .329? You sure about that, Limits?
I'm going to say yes, it was not.
You're right, but it was .299. So guess how many points that's off? 24 points lower. That's it. Than Brian Reynolds.
Aliko Williams looks like he's 12 years old in these pictures.
Yeah. Nice man, isn't he?
He's 26.
But he's sort of Jared Triolo. He's an all-glove, no-hit guy. But anyway, your thoughts on the two guys that they're giving $170 million doing almost nothing to help them offensively through 2 months of the season?
One word, disappointment. I mean, my expectations have not been high for Key Brian Hayes for a while now, and we have the game on in here right now, the replay of last night, and Key Brian Hayes at the plate, and all I see is 0-for-3 at the top of the score or the top of the screen. Like him in particular, the defense is great, but if you are literally just an offensive player where you can't run them out there and put them in the top five of the lineup, I don't want you to play third base for me.
No, it's horrifying. He has 86 at-bats this month, and he has three extra base hits, two doubles and a triple. He's driven in two runs in 86 at-bats.
And they've put him at cleanup on occasion this year. Like, what?
It's one of the big issues moving forward. It really is a guy they invested in. I was going to say that heavily, and by major league standards, not that heavily, but by Pirate standards, extremely heavily. All right, Limits. Meanwhile, there's O'Neill Cruz. Talked about this a lot yesterday when I did the morning show. My God. 200, well, what was, I was going to say 200 miles an hour. That's what it looked like. 123 miles an hour.
That's right.
And he's turning into a star. I don't care. No, I think most people actually share that opinion. I mean, I don't see this slowing down. Do you?
No, I'm of the belief that they should do whatever possible to get him an extension, to try to lock him up long term.
How much money?
That's the problem. When I asked Noah Hyles,
that's always the problem.
Bucko
yes.
Talk, he thinks it's a $200 million deal. Zangrilli, when I asked him yesterday, said probably right around the same, unless they do something where it's, in theory, a $200 million deal, but either the Pirates have an out, Cruz has an out, or there's like...
See, I think it could be in Tuss because of his recent history, because of having had that traumatic injury. I think if you guarantee that guy, try to buy out 2 years of free agency for something like $140 million, that's pretty tempting.
Do you think he would do 8 and 150?
That's 160? That's a lot of years, man. That buys out how many years of free agency?
Okay.
Five? Four?
That would buy out three.
8 years would only buy out?
No, let's see. 8 years would buy out five, yeah. Because he has three more. He has 3 years of arbitration.
That ain't happening.
That begins next year.
I'd say I'll trade you 2 years of unrestricted for security.
Give me, you would do five-year extension right around
140. I mean, you're handing for the Pirates?
Yeah.
How many? That's $28 million a year, right?
Yes.
I mean, again, by major league standards, I think you're making out pretty well there. If this guy is who we think he is, and I think he's becoming an absolute star. Michael McHenry next. We'll talk to him about O'Neill Cruz and about all things Pirates.